Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Al Mean.
Welcome to all our listeners all over the world. And it is the show Walking Between the Worlds, and the fourth in a series of 13 in which we explore the mysteries of our environment, the secrets that lie hidden behind the face values, and the deep laws that underlie reality. And today we have a show called The Metamorphosis of Man. In April of 2007, the Mother Goddess, Creational Goddess, declared that man was to be metamorphosed to be a more complex form of evolution, a superhuman. Great changes were made within the human physical body, as well as his more subtle bodies. This is resulting in the gradual transfiguration of the human race. And we have asked my office manager, Paul St. John, to join us this morning and to prepare a group of questions, whatever he wanted to, on this issue. And so we are going to ask him to come forward and share those questions with us, and I'll try and answer them to the best of my ability. Paul, welcome on the show. You've been with us three times before, and I'm very grateful for the work you put in to formulate those questions.
Well, I'm very grateful to all your enlightening answers, Al Mean. I'm going to start today with a question that stemmed again from the book The Ring of Truth, where you talk about the shift in polarities which occurred in the cosmos in August of 2006. And I'm wondering that as humans are a microcosm of the cosmos, did the polarities within the human body also shift, causing all the chakras to reverse their polarities? Like their positive and negative charges. And also, I was wondering if you could speak about the fields around the human heart. I know at one point they were a tube torus, but I'm curious if...
Well, there are multiple things that have changed with the chakras based on huge changes in the human body as a result of Mother's instruction that the human race make this very large evolutionary leap to superhumanness. So, in The Gift of the Unicorns, which is one of my books, we explore some of these huge changes that have happened so that humans can take up their positions as co-creators who can, in fact, produce awareness. So, to make a long story short, Ruben, there's a call coming in, so it's going to beep my words out. So if we could just go back, perhaps to before my answer. And by then, hopefully, it'll be over.
Okay. I think that was coming in on this line down here, right?
Don't know which line is beeping.
Okay.
Have you got the right spot for us to start over? Okay. Then I'll just start my answer over then. There are multiple things which have changed with the chakras based on huge changes in the human body, and this is as a result of Mother's instruction that the human race make an evolutionary leap to superhumanness. In The Gift of the Unicorns, which is one of my books, we actually explore some of the huge changes that have happened so that humans can take up their positions as co-creators. And they can, in fact, as co-creators, produce awareness. So to make a long story short regarding the chakras, the pineal or the crown chakra is the interpretive center that receives awareness from outside the cosmos, which is the realms of potential, which it passes to the heart for interpretation. The heart then turns this awareness into feelings, which are passed back to the pineal for further interpretation. And Mother actually placed new mathematical spirals of light in the bloodstream for these two centers to be able to communicate, you know, so that they have an interface and speak the same language. And it also interprets the information picked up by the third eye. So, previously, the third eye actually had its direction reversed. So you're right, Paul, and I mean, in this instance with the third eye, it did reverse.
I see.
You see, so previously, it was creating a reflection in our environment of our thoughts. In other words, it was outputting.
That could be good or bad.
Well, that's one of the reasons we couldn't see energy as well as we wanted to. You know, so many light workers complain of that. But now our environment becomes an expression of our hearts instead of our minds. And so the third eye now gets the input. So seeing energy directly should be a lot easier. So let's look at the throat. The throat chakra also has been reversed. It used to receive instead of output. As a result, we lived our lives as an effect of eternal causes. Now the throat provides the impetus to create life as we want it to be, making us the cause and the environment the effect. And I'd like to actually interject here for a little bit and just speak to our listeners about this issue of being a first cause rather than an effect. If we see ourselves in any way as victimized, we are seeing ourselves as an effect. Another place where we could become an effect rather than a cause is when we react to outside stimulus instead of responding from a place of mastery. For example, Paul, who has joined us today for the fourth time, is in fact our office manager at the Newport Office of Spiritual Journeys in Oregon. But we have begun to implement this issue of cause and effect in our office protocol. There's a portion of the day given to maintenance. We have to return phone calls. There's airplane trips to be planned and hotels to be booked for him and so on. He spends half his day in maintenance, but the other half of the day to build something new, something we didn't have before, something in which the words can go a little further or reach the right people that will respond to it with their hearts. So in order to keep this where we are in control of how we live our day in the work environment, the goal is that he does not just react when the phone rings. He doesn't necessarily answer it. If he's in the building stage, those calls, unless it is something urgent, is going to be returned the next day during our maintenance section. The reason for this is that he does not want to be the effect of always being the puppet and the string gets pulled by the phone or the fax or the email. He wants to be dancing his own dance creatively on the stage of his work environment. Now, if we also look at the throat, see, military music has the 4-4 beat. It's marching music, and it is designed very specifically through its marches to stimulate the throat chakra. The throat chakra, when stimulated or overly stimulated, would drive soldiers into battle. So if we've had our throat's direction reversed, receiving instead of outputting, we were like sheep. We were easily able to be manipulated. You know, a Hitler would come along and sweep a whole nation virtually with it. So, you know, people were told what to do, and they did it. And governments have been manipulating this a lot. When the throat drives forward, and interestingly enough, homosexual males have often had a situation where the throat has been reversed outward, so that they were very hard to control. Hence, you know, at some point they were unfortunately targeted by those who have not survived the ascension of the planet, but they were targeted as AIDS spreaders, and hoped, you know, that there would be great discrimination against homosexual males because they weren't doing as told. They were not controllable. Isn't that interesting?
That's really fascinating.
But anyway, let's move on to the heart. The heart's fields have indeed changed. Instead of a moving tube torus that does both output and input, think of the fields as a stationary tube torus through which concentric rings pulse outward. The heart now expresses in order to create. Previously, the inputting into the heart created a great burden for empathic light workers who were receiving into their heart center the burden of others' negativity. See, my brothers and sisters, life changed in August of last year, which is 2006, because there were portions of life designed to reveal to Mother that which she was and that which she wasn't. She didn't know whether she was certain things that she saw being mirrored back to her. When there are mysteries of beingness or mysteries of the infinite being that need to be solved, that is caused, it's called illusion. It's also the cause for illusion, actually, because then she doesn't know how to respond to it. But it is called illusion. So as of August in 2006, all that Mother thought may or may not be hers was officially solved. So illusion as a cosmic reality ceased to exist. Up until that time, life's purpose was different. Up until August of 2006, life's purpose was to turn the unknown into the known through experience. In other words, to solve the unknown portions of the infinite's being. As of then, it is again an entirely different purpose for living. It is to create through the heart that which Mother is. Purity, beauty, love, light, all those things. In other words, to create a life that reflects that which is. Some of us have lovingly played roles. Some of us have not so lovingly played roles beyond where we had a contract to do so, mirroring to Mother that which she was not. Up until August, we don't need to do that any longer. We have all been totally remade into the pristine purity of her being. And if we still choose to live the old patterns, it truly is, at this point, our choice. And then, you know, I've always wondered about guilt and innocence. I felt so sure that if I peeled and peeled and peeled layers of the onion back, that I would always find innocence. But not so. Guilt is where we no longer need to live a certain way, yet we enjoy it and choose to live the old things like the illusion of war. So, my brothers and sisters, we are now outputting through the heart. And the good news is for those empathic, sensitive light workers that are the ones listening to my voice, you know, your hearts will no longer be so crushed. So the more passionately you live, the more you open around you a sacred space, the bigger the tube torus that is now stationary, it's not folding upon itself, becomes, in which your concentric rings outward affects life.
That's
the root,
it
isn't good news, isn't it? I mean, so many, even since they were little children, have had their hearts crushed because it was input. So the root and the third chakras do both output and input. The second chakra, however, used to receive, and this incorrect flow caused the absorption and creation of fear. It is the center of will, and because it was not expressing our will, we also, because of this, became very easily manipulated. This has now changed. Our center of will, coupled with our heart's desire, coupled with the energy provided by the throat, can create a life of beauty and order. Please stay with us as we take a few-minute commercial break.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Elmin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with the ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master, and in addition, continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nagual and seer, Elmin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Elmin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Elmin. To learn more about Elmin and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So welcome back to our second section of Walking Between the Worlds. And my beloved friend and the great master, Paul St. John, is asking questions that he has prepared about the metamorphosis of man into a superconscious level into which we have never lived before. So, Paul, welcome back with us, and thank you for all the work you've done on this. Could you go ahead and ask me the next question?
I absolutely can. Now, 2 weeks ago, we spoke about how the assemblage point shifts location as one enters into God consciousness, and then again when one transfigures into the immortal mastery stage, and again when one enters into the God kingdom. I'm wondering if you can talk some more about the fields around the body themselves changing during these stages of evolution and consciousness.
Certainly, and I will just add for the folks that Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and do we also have it in the Ring of Truth?
It's briefly in Journey to the Heart of God, but it's more a full description in Secrets.
And in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we also have the illustrations to show what it is I'm about to speak of. So, let's talk about how the fields around the body changes. My brothers and sisters, in the stages of man, and you can move beyond these stages, and many in body have. However, in the stages of man, there are three main stages. The first stage is where you identify with the ego. And you have a dialogue in the mind, and you still identify with your bundle of feelings and the body and the thoughts. And that is what causes so much disillusionment to light seekers, as they frequently go to teachers that themselves have never left the fishbowl. And so they're leading them, but they're leading them around and around the fishbowl, and it just feels like they can't break through to that place where there is silence of the mind. And then you find the ones that have gone into the silence of the mind, and they are mostly in the Far East, but the problem is that they tend to get stuck there, and so they don't actually re-enter activity. They overpolarize into beingness, and they don't teach you how they got where they are, because perhaps they never took the time to analyze it. So in the books that we have written, the main purpose has been to map out very, very carefully the way into immortality and beyond. And sometimes people say, well, why do you give these huge, big concepts about how the cosmos, you know, relates and the mother's inner being and all these deep mysteries? How does it grow corn? Well, how it grows corn, my brothers and sisters, is that the more power you can accumulate, the more you can go into higher levels of consciousness. The result of increased vision of a larger paradigm is power and energy, which is needed for your metamorphosis and the going from one level to the other. But I've gotten a little bit off track here, Paul. Sorry.
That's just fine.
But let's go back to what you asked, and you were asking about how these fields transfigure.
Exactly.
Well, at the very beginning, when an initiate and an adept put their feet upon the path of spiritual searching and inner overcoming, and also into the third phase of this ego identification stage, which is called mastery, and most shamans and teachers out there are in this third phase of identity consciousness, what you have is the transfiguration of the chakras. So, first of all, the seven seals break, which is described in Revelations, but that pertains to the breaking of the seven seals of the earth as she goes out of identity consciousness into ascended mastery. We have already passed through that stage pertaining to the earth. So the seals would make the chakras, if you look at someone from the side, look like a cone with its point to the middle from the front, and at the back a cone with its point to the middle. Where those two points meet is the plug. It's the debris of unresolved issues in life that has not fruitfully yielded their insights. So the first stages, as one starts to see, at least by the stage of the adept, behind the appearances, not taking things at face value, those plugs start to open. They open actually, and I'll just put this in as a little bit of extra information, in a very specific order, which is the same order that it tends to activate chakras more fully when you walk in a labyrinth. It goes from third, second, root to heart. Then it goes crown, third eye, throat. So that's exactly the way that they open.
Oh.
Then they become spherical, no longer conical. And as you live more and more radiantly and deeply examine every little meaning behind things in your life, so in other words, you're living with awareness, these spheres become bigger and bigger, overlapping more and more. By the time you are at the end of the third phase of identity consciousness, you are in what's called a unified chakra field, where the chakra is such a huge intermingled ball of light that if you have a sexual orgasm, you feel it all the way in your crown. When you're sad, it is felt in every cell of your body. So that's the first big stage. Now, when you go to the next stage of man, which is God consciousness, most of the masters in the Far East are in this stage. Some light workers have gone into this by themselves. And in this stage, it's almost as though you're disassociative, as though you live in this vastness and you watch yourself go through the motions. That is the first phase of it. In that phase, there's a massive explosion of emotions. The emotional bodies explode, and if you can see it on Carillion photography, it actually makes spikes, large spikes sticking out to the side. And during the first three phases of this second big stage in humanity's evolution, all of them pertain to the enlargement, exploding into various larger shapes of the emotional bodies. And the emotional bodies is what people normally photograph in Karelian photography as an aura.
Most people don't know that, I don't think.
No, they don't. And it actually consists of the emotional body, which is out about sort of 15, 16 inches from the body. And then it consists of the spiritual emotional body, which lies just on the other side of the mental body, which is linear, and is about another 2 feet out, maybe a little less. So that's why it looks like a 4-foot aura, but it's two different emotional bodies combined. So anyway, the last stage for humankind is ascension. And during the phases of ascension, what then is transfigured are the mental bodies. Massive changes happen. For example, it's very disconcerting when you first enter your first phase of ascended master, my brothers and sisters, everything is automatic. I entered it in January the 5th, actually, of 2005. And when I spoke at a large symposium or expo in Canada during March, I spoke for several hours and had not any idea what I had said. My mental body had completely collapsed into my etheric body, which is just an inch out from the body. They both jointly collapsed into the body. It was as though I had no mental body. I had zero memory, and you know, the memory issue comes and goes during various phases, but I had no memory of what I spoke, and everything was done automatically. At this point, my books are written longhand from a space of total emptiness. What I speak is also from total emptiness, not preceded by thought. The, you know, the mental bodies transfigure there. Then, if you know the value of the Kundalini in bringing about the true depth of emotions, then you will be able to leave the human condition into the God kingdom. What explodes there is the zero point that was behind the belly button. Mother has moved this life force center with its zero point up recently as part of the metamorphosis of man to the heart. When it explodes, the zero point energy explodes, and then cause and effect are almost immediate. So does that answer that a little bit? That was a long answer.
Yes, I'll say it answers it quite well. Thank you very much, Amina. I think that's something that really sheds a lot of light on this very profound transfiguration, which I know is occurring to those who attend your classes around the world. And I've witnessed it many times, and it's always wonderful to hear it explained again.
Well, you know, let's just take a look at that assemblage point for a second.
Okay.
The assemblage point is a tennis ball size little sphere that sits about an arm's length out behind the heart for people that are in identity consciousness. It determines our reality. This point shifts upwards and to the left when we leave identity consciousness and we enter God consciousness. It shifts up again and very far to the right when we go into ascended mastery. When we go into the God kingdom and that massive zero-point explosion happens, it will go out about maybe 15 feet and sit way out on the edge of the zero-point. And we will talk a little bit more about some of these things right after our break. Please stay with us and join us again for Walking Between the Worlds.
Albion continues the exploration begun in our previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From his background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Almeen. To learn more about Almeen and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to our listeners, and welcome back also to Paul St. John, who is my office manager and friend and beloved brother, and has taken the time to write out questions some of you have sent in to us. And we're always very happy to receive your emails. And so, Paul, if you would like to continue, and what would be your next question?
Well, my next question has to do with addictions. I'm wondering if, as human beings metamorphose into more evolved beings, if there are going to be as many addictions in our future.
Okay. Now, there's definitely a short answer and a much longer answer.
Okay. You can give us both if you'd like.
Well, let me do that, because this is our show in which we look at things in depth. We can get short answers everywhere.
True.
The short answer is no. However, I think it would be helpful for everyone if I explained why there were so many addictions in the first place.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, then the cosmos in its ascension has moved high enough in frequency and light that life has never existed there as anything other than individuated oceans of consciousness of the mother herself. In other words, we've never had higher aspects of ourselves or of any kind in the levels into which the earth and the entire cosmos have moved. Now, to understand this, a second point needs to be understood first. It might seem as though creation is more prone to needing corrections than we would like. For instance, at times it really seems as though the infinite mother that creates all life makes mistakes, and then she has to redo things. But when something is made from nothing, or individual personalities are made from the blank canvas of consciousness, it cannot be foreseen what will work and what will not. If it were not so, Mother would simply be perpetuating what she already knows about her being. And Mother wanted very specifically to find unknown ways in which her being can express. Hence, the uniqueness of each individual, as well as the freedom of choice that has been given. In this way, new equations would be created that had never been created before. So, it's clear so far, right?
Yes, it is so far.
Okay. Well, the original creation, which was her very first creation, which was the Father, was but the beginning. Children, as in creations, ensued from this relationship that Mother now had with this externalization of her masculine aspects. No one knew where this would lead. Mother had the contract with the oceans of consciousness lying as externalizations of herself around the cosmos and the area in which creation would still take place, that they would assist if for some reason her dimming of portions of her own vision in order to be able to focus and relate to her new creations became too severe. Now, you know, Paul, that sort of example that I give about the flashlight on the ceiling?
Yes.
Well, it's her focus. if you make the flashlight on the ceiling and you can change the focus of the flashlight, let's say you make the spot small and very bright.
Right.
Okay, well, the rest around it stays dark, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So this is the way that Mother would dim certain peripheral vision in order to hold the focus and deeply examine a very bright light as shone on a specific portion of her being into which individuations are created.
Well, that analogy is very helpful.
See, because, I mean, if you made it a big, broad, diffuse circle, you access everything very dimly.
Right.
You can't really understand yourself deeply. So, in other words, she dimmed portions of her own vision, and these oceans were supposed to remember things for her and tell her, you know, if her forgetfulness became too severe. What was not foreseen, this is the part where the addiction issue comes in. What was not foreseen was that the inactivity into which the oceans of consciousness had become polarized, and they became an overpolarization into the negative pole, would put them in such a state of beingness that they would cease activity and therefore not honor the contracts they had made with the one who had created them, the more proactive part, which is the mother of all life. In this form, they became addicted to her activity. Addictions occur when we abandon self. You know, and many of my books, like the very first book, which is Journey to the Heart of God, and actually it's Life of Miracles, and Journey to the Heart of God, which is the second book, we've taken great pains to explain the subpersonalities. Well, that's because when the subpersonalities are not lived and known within, one abandons oneself, and that's where addictions come.
I see.
So, in this way, Mother was on her own in bringing the cosmos into a full-blown ascension and in creating steps which would make her children less of a reflection of her being and more of an expression of her being. In other words, more real. Their over-focusing on her activity, these oceans were watching her so much because they didn't have a life of their own, because they became over-polarized into just beingness, like somebody just glued to the television. They over-focused on her activity, and this accelerated the ascension far beyond what was comfortable. And it strengthened the drama for her far beyond what was needed. One strengthens that which you focus on. And they were all watching the soap opera, making her life far more painful in bringing her children into realness than what it needed to be. So if this happens at the macrocosmic levels, it will filter all the way down to the microcosmic levels. And see, man is the representation as the microcosm of the macrocosm.
Right.
So, in October of 2007, this was changed, and Mother drew a veil over all but 1/24 of her life. She now uploads her insights, and the oceans of consciousness were assigned the duty of making sense of them, while only being permitted to view that portion of her life in order to obtain better understanding. The addiction was, in this way, broken. This means that addictions are now easier for us to break too. All addictions should be looked at. I mean, it's not just, you know, the usual addictions, is it?
No, this is true.
I mean, wow. What do you think? It's shopping and...
Yeah, well, I'm sure, like you mentioned, there's lots of addictions to television, certainly addictions to food, and then, of course, the more obvious ones.
And mine was addiction to work.
Uh-huh.
I have to conquer that one.
Oh, it's too bad I don't have that one. Isn't it, Almeen?
Well, Paul, you work harder than most people put together, but I would not say you're addicted.
Well, Almeen, I'm not sure if we'll have enough time to tackle my next question before the commercial break. Is there anything else that you wanted to add before we head off to commercial?
Well,
I can just ask it, and then we can see how much time we have.
Why don't we do that? I'm not entirely sure how much time is left. They'll give us a little.
Nor am I. So we'll just wing this.
Okay.
You mentioned in your last answer that Mother's creations were becoming more real, and as human beings are a part of that creation, I'm wondering if you can talk about what that actually means in terms of this human metamorphosis into something that is more real.
Oh, that is a wonderful topic. I'm so glad you thought of this one, because, you see, let's take a look. People ask when they read The Gift of the Unicorns and they see how Mother went into deep forgetfulness and entered the screen herself of where life was taking place among her reflections, if you will. Why she had to do that. Why that made life so painful. But it is just like Pinocchio that Geppetto carved and then wanted that beautiful little puppet to be a real life boy. Mother has always, same stories in the beautiful book, The Velveteen Bunny, or The Velveteen Rabbit. Mother always wanted her creations to be real. They started out being two-dimensional, if you will, on a flat television screen. They were the reflection of her pineal gland. And they started out actually being the reflection. This vast cosmos was the reflection of the potential of one cell in the pineal gland.
Wow.
Then, as the ascension took place, she changed it. They became the reflection of the potential of the entire pineal gland. Then, Mother changed the way that creation took place, and then they became not just a reflection of potential, but a true reflection of her pineal gland's majesty and glory, and that is what the cosmos was.
Wow.
But that changed yet again. Mother then wanted them to become an expression of it instead of a reflection. So then they became an expression of the pineal gland. And then, she managed through tremendous hard work on her part to bring a most incredible metamorphosis. She then managed to bring them to the place where they are now, not only an expression of the pineal gland, but of her entire self. And each one is a unique lens through which her beautiful light is shone, reflecting that uniqueness. And then only recently she got them out of the screen into a virtual reality of sorts in which they have become real. Now when we are with Mother, we will be able to touch her like that. Most glorious question. I'm very glad you answered it.
Glorious answer.
So it's time now for our commercial break we were anticipating. Please join us again, like family, after this little break.
A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life and provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with The Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. To learn more about Al Mean and the mystical keys of life, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
Welcome back to Walking Between the Worlds. And we are discussing how all Mother's creatures have become more real. How she has loved us so much that she descended into the screen and gave herself forgetfulness in order to be able to participate in life among us. That as she exited the screen, she was able to bring her beloved creations with her. We are now, like virtual reality, no longer on a flat television screen. We have become real. Now, we have Paul St. John with us, and again, Paul, we're ready for your next question.
Okay. Well, in that grand exiting of the screen, the ascension that we are currently engaged in, I'm wondering, you've mentioned in the past that since the beginning of this ascension, and I believe it was February 2005, there have been many beings who were not life-enhancing enough to make it through these many transitions to subsequent higher levels of existence. Can you explain what happens to these beings? Do they cease to exist?
Well, there are several things, and the answer is yes, but let's see what actually in practicality happens.
Okay.
As the cosmos has gone up, 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 multiple races cease to exist. When we were within the screen, the cycles of the fall, and as we have mentioned, the history of this is in the Gift of the Unicorns, and in the cycles of the fall, it is seen that there were imposter gods that represented themselves as the Father in heaven that had never entered the screen. So it was only in August of 2007 that we encountered the real God of Truth, Mother's first creation. But if we take a little look at this, you cannot change without shedding the old. Sometimes things just become obsolete as you reach higher levels of light. Up until August of last year, change was linear, and it went through three very distinct stages. Transformation, in which the old was being shed. Transmutation, in which you turned pain or hardship or opposition into insight and light. And then transfiguration, because any being can only hold so much light before it has to transfigure to its next stage in evolution. After August of 2006, growth became exponential. But regardless, when beings were not life-enhancing enough, or in some instances, some of these races had no feeling bodies, because they weren't created by Mother. They were created by the imposter gods. And they tormented the earth because the imposter gods and those races saw that their demise lay in the ascension of the earth as the way-shower of the cosmos. And it is described by these history keepers that kept the cosmic history on Mother's behalf that life began on Earth, that the Earth is one of the oldest and most ancient planetary bodies and the cradle of existence. That is why she is the pivot point and the way-shower. When this ascension happened, as we moved from level to level, some beings and groups of souls on Earth ceased to exist. And as they did, one of several things would happen. Either there would be fatal accidents, there would be natural disasters, there would be something that would wipe them out in physical death. In other instances, they would become soulless bodies, going about their business, fulfilling contracts, providing, you know, for wife and children, but on the side there may be a pedophile or there may be a this or that. And the point is that that body might be totally empty. There are still a few empty bodies on Earth. But these bodies will become very soon inhabited by the illusion of disease, and I say illusion because Mother removed the real part of disease when the disease in the cosmos was taken away, namely the imposter gods and goddesses. So at that point, the illusion of disease could come in and claim it as cancer, for instance. Or the body would be prone to accidents. But in most cases, those beings that weren't found to be life-worthy enough were totally removed as an individuation. Their energy was released to the cosmos to help it ascend, and the individuation was entirely deleted. So, before we close, because it's drawing to that time right about now, but before we do this, I just want to reiterate, there is indeed a second death, that which is a cessation of individuation. When this occurs, the being releases the energy back to the cosmos that its individuation tied up and dissolves into pure consciousness without any individuation whatsoever. In the past, there were times when beings did not take form but remained for various different purposes, awaiting another time to take form or perhaps incarnate. This is done less now because the future is like a blank canvas. The issue is more what we want to make of it. In other words, my brothers and sisters, before we lived out a destiny, and at times we would rest in the ocean of consciousness when it did not suit our destiny line to come back and incarnate. Now, we do not have a destiny. We are creating our destiny. We are leaving our mark through the painting of our life. The future no longer exists. It is a blank canvas. We have only the moment. One moment. Live our highest truth. But, unfortunately, Paul, and I thank you so much for being on the show and assisting us with this, and also great gratitude to our listeners. We're about at the time where we just have a minute left, and we are in a 13-week series. We have just completed our fourth of 13 weeks of where we will explore the mysteries of being, the deep, deep secrets that permeate all life and turn them into the known for us. My brothers and sisters, it's an exciting journey. It's one of adventure. And adventure has replaced opposition. We welcome you back again, hopefully next week. Thank you so much for being my light family.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Walking Between the Worlds with Al Mean.